So the source for intention is that Hashem said He will forgive her. And that's if she does tshuva.
That proves that it requires forgiveness, which can come through atonement.
Atonement.
Yes.
Hashem will atonement will get forgiveness for any avera. Why must Hashem say it in this case? Is atonement
might have thought it doesn't require forgiveness. After there is no real transgression, for the vows were nullified. Now the question which we mentioned yesterday. Why was it Rabbi Akiva or the Tanoim who cried? So first of all, a few years ago, there was great drama when Rabbi Yosef, he said that we want to understand why Jews are killed so much in a cruel way, even Talmid Chachamim. He says, because the chet of sinat chinam, hatred without cause. I think you may have said in 3 weeks ago. And he then said that in the three of Tisha B'Av and also in Yom Kippur, one of the most emotional lamentations is the Asarah Harugi Malchut. 10 great saints who were killed in the most cruel manner by the Romans. So he said, because the Siddur Shinah is too much hatred, without cause. And they were killed, if you look at the Kinnah, one of the Kinnahs says this, because of the sin of the brothers against Yosef HaTzadik. So he said that killing the Romans come to atone because they are the Gilgulim. The brothers all thought they were doing good, but really they hated him in an unjustified manner. And then Yosef forgave them. But still, this sin is still with us today, so it carries on all the time. So this is based upon Gilgulei Neshama. He said that Asari and Malkus were Gilgulei Neshama of the brothers of Yosef. And the result says Rabbi Akiva, he was the Gilgul, the reincarnation of Shimon. And that's why his death was so violent, because Shimon was the most violent of the brothers. Without consulting Yaakov Avinu, he, also Levi, accompanied him. So Levi found a bit of his tikkun by not having any portion of the land of Israel, and his tribe being scattered amongst all the other tribes. But Shimon did get land. And Shimon's soul became reincarnated Gilgul in Rabbi Akiva. So it says it's true, the brothers of Yosef, their intention was a good one, but their action wasn't. So this is the punishment comes from the evil intention. Therefore, even though Rabbi Akiva knew that he was from the Shoresh Hashem of Shimon ben Yaakov, and he thought he won't be punished with his sin, because in any case good things came from it. In the end, it was really good for the Jewish people in one way. But when he came to this pasuk, which Boruch punishes for an evil action that a person does without intending to sin, even though then it turns out wasn't really a sin, therefore he cried very much. He cried for all the yisurim that come from the sin of the sale of Yosef. Yosef said to his brothers, Atem chashavtem l'ro, your intention was evil, but of course God used it for the good. Because if the brothers wouldn't have sold Yosef to Egypt, then Egypt would never have been led to be able to survive through Yosef HaTzadik. And then Yosef HaTzadik couldn't have helped Yaakov Avinu come to Egypt. The decree was he had to go down to Egypt. So Yosef looked after them. So therefore the sale of Yosef to Egypt turned out to be something good.
Everything Hashem does is good.
Okay, but you don't always see it. And here they were able to see it at the end. So Rabbi Akiva, that's why Rabbi Akiva, he cried most bitterly. Because he was a Gilgal, the Neshama of Shimon. Shimon, the son of Yaakov. And Shimon, the son of Yaakov, used violence. That's one explanation why he cried. And the other explanation is, it's connected with the way in which Rabbi Akiva used to mock those who don't resist temptation. He said it's so easy to resist temptation. And therefore he mocked at those. He didn't respect sufficiently the struggle that some people have to go through in order to retain their moral purity. But for him it was easy. And really we can understand for him it was easy because he had such a fantastic wife. It made it easy for him. But sometimes it's more difficult. So Hashem, even when he was probably already a great teacher in Israel, this often came to him in the form of a beautiful, attractive woman who tempted him. And even though he's a tzadik katom yifroch, he's going up in, above like the palm tree to the highest levels of Torah and saintliness, but don't rely on it. The Satan can come to you. And he almost sinned. He didn't he did climb up the tree to reach the branch where she was sitting, and then all of a sudden she changed into what he recognized was the Satan. It's not a beautiful woman at all, it's a very ugly power that was drawing him. And the Satan said to him, he said, if you wouldn't have learned so much Torah, then I would have brought you to have in your life and amongst the whole of Israel to become the most worthless human being. Just worth too little coins, you'd be like a beggar going around with his two coins rattling so that people know he's got nothing to eat, he needs to get more coins. But the other explanation is I would have cut you in half. Means you would have gone to your death. So you got a shock. And you recognized that it happened to him in the end, in fact. He was cut into pieces. Because the Romans, they raked his flesh whilst it was burning in the fire through which they killed him. So he said, that's where Rabbi Akiva, this is one of the deepest commentators on Gadat of Shas is Maral, and the other, another deep one is the Ben Ishchai, which was very great. So he says, the serpent came to him in the form of a woman to cause him to sin, and he almost sinned. And how does sin rise in a person? He sees a beautiful woman. And he looked at a beautiful woman. He looked at the Satan. So his intention was, in fact, easy. His intention was evil. And he cried. For that he gets a big punishment. But now we'll turn to the halachic aspect of Yichud. It's closely connected with this. Really, that's one of the major questions of the Paskin. So I want you to go back to page 80b. We'll just do the Mishnah briefly. Page 80b, the Mishnah. You want, maybe you'll say, David? Loit Yached.
Loit Chedalam im Shtei Nashim, aval Isha Achat mit Yachedet im Shnei Anashim. Rabbi Shimon Omer.
Just a minute. What's Rashi say? Why should a man should not be secluded together with two women? Because Rashidim Nishidat and Kala, because they have a light mind, it means it's not so difficult to seduce them. And even though they're two women, and there's one man, and if the man he makes a proposal to sleep with them, then we say they can easily be seduced, and one is not afraid of the other. People listen, because they say, okay, we won't tell anybody about it, but let's have fun, and one is not afraid of the other. But also it says, but does say one woman is mixed with two men. Well, what's the difference? Are men and women not the same? No. Why? By men, Rashi says, you read the Rashi? Which means?
It's shamed.
One is shamed in front of the other. Two men, they prefer to do it when nobody else is around. But a person can be Rabbi Shimon Omer Af Ish Echad. Rabbi Shimon says, he says men and women are the same. Not quite. Depends. Only under certain conditions. One man can be with two women when his man she is to Imo. Say the Mishnah first. One man should be with two women if his wife is with him. Because the wife protects him. She will not allow him to go and approach the other women. And they can even sleep in the same room. Why? Because his wife will guard him. But a person is permitted to be alone with his mother, alone with his daughter. He can even sleep with them, even if their bodies touch, because there's no fear of any type of sexual attraction. But that's as long as the boy or the girl are children. And what happens if the boy has already reached puberty, or the girl has, then they must not have bodies touching, but they can sleep in separate garments. So Rashi says, Rashi brings this first. But the Gemara will say with the mother it's permissible. The son with his mother, as long as he's a minor, as we'll explain. When they grow up, then they should have separate clothing. Now, the question is like this. It would appear from... if you haven't read the Gemara does say there's a hint for the prohibition of being secluded. It's a yichud. So it's interesting. I could bring it straight to more practical. Is it in the yichud? The main law of Yichud is with those women with whom one is not allowed to have intercourse. That means a woman, when she has Nida, even if she's not married, a Jewish woman who's a nida is punishment of karet, similar to the punishment for Yidum and Yom Kippur. But what happens if the girl, not married, has been to the mikveh and she's no longer a nida? There's no prohibition of the Torah to be together by oneself. But the rabbis made a prohibition even then. And there are some who say, there are some the Shonim who say it is a prohibition. But prohibition is basically the Rabbanan. Now, with arayot, with incestual relationships, or people with whom there is a prohibition of an incestual relationship, then most of the poskim say it's a law of the Torah that you mustn't be secluded. You mustn't be secluded one by one. But and also even one man with two women. Two men with one woman is not a prohibition. So the Gemara brings here a pasuk from the case of Yisitcha of Icha ben Imecha. But you haven't learned this passage, have you? Have you studied this properly or not yet? So I'll just tell you briefly what the decision is. Most of the Rishonim, including Shulchan Aruch, say it's really the main aspect of Yichud is forbidden in the Torah, but to be secluded with a girl who's not a nida is a gezeira which is made by David HaMelech, even with one sister, to be secluded from the case of Amnon and Tamar. Because he had a son called Amnon and a daughter called Tamar. And Amnon, he made up so really fell in love with, but he didn't even have feelings of love for his sister Tamar. And then he raped her. Came to rape. So you can read the Zohar episode given in Nachman, which caused quite a tragedy. He made a gezeira on being excluded with even the closest relatives at times. But the gezeira was not really extended directly to his sister. It was such a general gezeira, came as a result with someone who's not married. But we can see here it says in the Mishnah, the question is Yichud primarily because it leads to Bia, it leads to intercourse, people are committed together, and they're attracted to one another, then the Gezeira was made, a general Gezeira. It's the Chachomim. The Rambam holds it's all the Rabbanan, and even when they bring a Pasuk, the Chumash, it's Asmachta. But nearly all the other poskim, they say the basis of Yichud is Min HaTorah. But now one of the dinim given here in this Mishnah is the one that we're going to study more thoroughly on page 81b. So now we can turn from this to page 81b, because the last part of the Mishnah says a person is permitted to be with his mother or with his daughter.
Is Rabbi Shimon arguing with the Tanakhama?
Huh?
Is he arguing Rabbi Shimon, or is he adding on?
Lacha is adding on. If his wife is with him, and that's halacha, if the wife is with a person, then there's no yichud. So now let's study page Aleph. There's more. Page Aleph on my base. So, who wants to say who's prepared? If a person can be alone with his mother or with his daughter, so what's Omar Rabbi? You want to carry on? That's Chaim. Omar Rabbi Yehuda, Omar Rabbi Asi.
Where are we picking up from?
Omar Rabbi Yehuda, Omar Rabbi Asi, middle of the page. Middle of 81b. Mitjachid Adam.
Omar Rabbi Yehuda, Omar Rabbi Asi. Miss Yafet Odom im Afosoi, the Dar im Imoi.
Just a minute, what's it mean? Person be alone with his sister, when? When he can be with his sister? He can live with his sister alone?
When is his mother, no?
Odom im Afosoi, with his sister.
So Rashi says. Liprakim. That means for limited times. Aval, Rashi says.
Aval eino dar
tamid beyichud etzra. Bye. He can't live with her permanently alone in the house. The question is, what does Rashi mean? How much is prakim? So some say, it's less than 30 days. For a less than 30 day period, she could live secluded, locked up, with his sister. But Moshe Feinstein, he speaks practically, said, no, you can't really make a definite time, that's it for him, because the question is more, if he wants to establish a more permanent living together with her, that he shouldn't do. But if it's clearly limited, it's permissible. Now, what about, since you have a sister, what about an aunt? Same thing or not? An aunt is also a forbidden relationship. So if it applies, then an aunt. So the Ritva and the Smag say it's only a sister, not other relatives. Moshe Feinstein paskens more halacha lemaisa for us today. You've all heard of Moshe Feinstein? So there are 9 volumes of his responsa, covering almost every aspect of life of Jews today. So he says, that the two types of forbidden relationships, where there's, if a person has intercourse with him, but the intercourse with his sister, it's also chiyuv karet. It's a very serious sin, like eating on Yom Kippur, if he has relationships with them. So why is it permissible? Because simple meaning is because the familiarity of living of being sibling is such, it does not lead, normally speaking, normal human beings, to have a sexual attraction. Not amongst, these are laws for the Jewish people. Gentiles, it's something to develop it as on a sexual basis. But Jews, it's so deeply implanted in us that despite the fact that externally, they might be just as attractive, beautifully, but it does not create a stimulus because of long-standing inhibitions for generations. And that's why it applies also to many large sections of mankind. But why a sister? What about an aunt? An aunt is... could be always, sometimes I have an aunt, can be a similar age as a person. And does the same principle apply? It's libo gaspa, is the expression used in the Gemara. Great feelings, familiarity, you know, breeds even contempt. And certain familiarity is that which closes up the sexual drive. So what about the more distant relatives that are also forbidden, also called incestual? So the Moshe Feinstein, psychologically, it's correct, it makes a distinction. He says there are relatives that are blood relations. There are some relatives that are relatives by marriage. The relatives of a marriage, it's just like it's not really an internal blood relationship. And therefore, the prohibition should apply. This is already brought in some of the early authorities, and therefore, he says, an aunt, not by marriage, would be forbidden. An aunt not by marriage could also be temporary. That's his distinction in that view. There's a basic question altogether in the, those who want to understand the principle of Yichud. Is Yichud entirely because of possibility of it leading to an illicit sexual relationship, or is it in itself something forbidden by the Torah? It's an Issa B'atzmo. So if you learn out the Rambam, this indicates the Rabbanan, it's most likely only because it leads to, it's easy from that to come to the sin, which is a chiyuv karet. If you learn like most of the other Rishonim, Tosfos, Rosh and Ramban, that there is an Issa d'oraita, so then you can say maybe there's a prohibitive aspect, even if it doesn't lead to sexuality. And then, what will be the difference? Difference is, very old people don't have such a sexual drive anymore. Does the Issa Yichud still apply?
Yes.
So some say it does, because look, they didn't make distinctions. And maybe the stories we're told beforehand here come to teach us that, because you never know. It can be a sudden stimulus, a rejuvenation of the person under certain circumstances. It may be sent by Hashem as a soton, as we see. And someone will bring proof in this Gemara that the din of Yichud should apply, however old you are. Okay. Anyway, let's see further. What is? Then it says, "Vadar karim the Gemara."
Vadar im imoy.
A person can live with his mother or with his daughter. Why?
Ki amra.
Say the Rashi. The Lord tafik yitzve alayhu. Because the inclination is not strong with them. Because the men of the great assembly, they helped. They gave benefit, really. They helped. The lo megare v'krufte v'chi kachlinu v'nakrinu le'ene. That the inclination for illicit sex will not stimulate them, stimulate people who are closely related. They keep from the time The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, says the following. Now, you know, we all are liable to sin. There was a time amongst the people of Israel, also we studied our history, that from the beginning of our nation, when we left Egypt, till the time of the destruction of the first temple, the people of Israel, like most nations around, we were tempted constantly to worship idols. Like most of the nations of the world, this was a big temptation. But then, the men of the Great Assembly, how many of them were there?
120.
How many were Anshe Knesset, Hagadola, how many? Do you know David? How many Anshe Knesset Hagadola were there? It's called the Great Assembly. Why do you think it's called the Great Assembly? These 120 great scholars, and some of them were still the last prophets. And Shimon HaTzadik was one of the last. It says the beginning of Pirkei Avos. So why were there 120? So why is it called the Great Knesset?
It's a lot of people.
I think there's a special reason. Because I say there's premonitions of what's going to happen to people of Israel in all the words of the sages. With great, what's the contrast of great? Small, yeah? So there's a Knesset Hakatana, which also has 120 members. What's that?
The government of Israel.
Israeli parliament. I think they probably decided they could have 120, because they thought we'll be even greater than Anshe Knesset Hagadolah. But in fact, it turns out, if anything, Knesset Katana Mod Mod. And sometimes, listening to their discussions, it sounds as though it's a kindergarten. No. Anshe Knesset Katana. No. Sometimes. So this is the contrast between Anshe Knesset Katana, the greatest prophets and the greatest sages, who formulated our tefillot and instituted many things. Why did they have to have this, the Anshe Knesset Katana? Why was it necessary? It's mentioned at the beginning of Pirkei Avot. Why is it necessary? It's very important for us to understand what they did. Did great things. They knew the 10 tribes are lost all over the world. The exile in Babylon. And now they're already at the starting of the Second Temple. It was also fraught with difficulties. Jews are scattered all over the world. They saw they had to institute many things to get Ezra and Nehemiah, was amongst them, Shimon HaTzadik, that would hold together the Jewish people until Mashiach comes. And therefore they instituted many, many things that Rav Ananda instituted. Many of the tefillot, some basic tefillot, go back to them. So they also prayed very strongly, please Hashem. There's still quite a lot of idolatry going amongst the nations, which is also becoming weakened. Please take away this temptation for idolatry. And they removed it. They nullified the temptation of idolatry, which Jews do not possess until this day. I'm talking about physical idolatry. it has some individuals, fringe elements, but in general, idolatry did not exist. There was denial of faith. If there were groups that did not believe in Hashem strongly, did not believe in his Torah strongly, but idolatry, it became inhibited to the Jewish people. And amongst the nations, the world of the Western nations also became weakened a great deal. So then the Anshikrita Kadullah, that's the Gemara in Sanhedrin, they prayed, well Hashem, you're taking away this sinfulness of idolatry, which we can see. It plagued the people of Israel throughout the period of the earlier prophets, that what would Eliyahu Navi have to do to remove Baal worship and so on. We see it was a strong power. No longer is it going to be a strong power. They said, well, while we're about this, let's pray to Hashem to remove the feeling of lust amongst the Jews. They should stop sinning with regard to sexual morality. Take away that Yetzirah. So they prayed it should be removed. So what happened? You don't even know what it said.
The cock didn't.
Pardon?
Chicken did not get an egg anymore.
Yeah, chicken didn't lay eggs anymore. It was removed from nature as well. So they decided to leave it. But they did weaken it. They weakened it. So because beforehand there was a bit incestual, there were also incestual drives amongst the Jews. As we find from Amnon and Tamar, they were led to brother and sister, but that left them. So that left. That's what it says, that's what Rashi is referring to. It's no longer, where doesn't it apply? It did still apply. Look, incest is repeated constantly in Chumash, the long list of forbidden relatives. Yeah? Do we have any Yetzara for them today? It's been very much weakened. Also amongst the Gentiles. You know, even though, there can be many instances where there can be a person who has initially might be attracted to someone who's relative. Once he feels it's my relative, my close relative, which is forbidden, like an aunt or a niece or nephew, or when it's certainly if you're invisible, like certainly a brother and sister and a parent, for parents and children, and also for brothers and sisters, it became weakened. Since it became weakened, therefore they said, we don't have to be, you know, amongst the Greeks, there was still the Oedipus complex and so on. And subconsciously, say it's still working. But amongst the Jewish people, it's very much weakened. And therefore, no problem. You can have parents with their children living in the same room. The Lord Takvitz alive, because the Antichrist removed it. So that is this description here. But now, does somebody else want to say? Somebody else can say further? Do you want to say, want to try and say? You've got the Ki Amrita, Ki Amara, Kameh Shmuel. David, you carry on? When this statement of Rav Yehuda was said in front of Shmuel, in other words, Rav Yehuda says, a sister is permissible. Apart from a person which mentioned the Mishnah being allowed to sleep near his mother and a daughter near her father, when this was said in front of Shmuel, what did he say? Amar Asur Lihityached. Asur Lihityached im kol ha'rutshe b'tzura v'filim b'heima. Shmuel was very strict. He said it's forbidden with all the arayot, So the implication of Shmuel is against the Mishnah. The Mishnah says a person can be with his father. Avuda says even a sister's okay. But Shmuel says no, the person can't be with his a daughter, not with her father, and a son, not with his mother, and a brother, not with his sister. He says it's all forbidden.
None.
But the Mishnah says the opposite. Shmuel was an Amoro. He lived after, a few generations after, the conclusion of the Mishnah. And we have a rule, the later commentator of the Amoraic period, they have to follow the conclusions of the Mishnah. And there's no difference of opinion in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says it's forbidden. It says it's permissible with the father and mother. We learned it just now. You can even sleep with them in the same bed, even if the bodies touch. That's permissible. What does tshuva mean?
Refutation.
Huh?
Refutation.
So we've refuted Shmuel. It's wrong what Shmuel says, because it goes against the Mishnah. So what's the answer of the Gemara? Amalach Shmuel. Shmuel will answer. Shmuel was the greatest scholar of his time. He'll answer you. He'll say, there's a braita which says a person may not be secluded with his sister. No chamoto. What's chamoto? His mother-in-law. Ushah and all the other forbidden relationships with the Torah. Eim mitjachad imahem ela be'eden. He's allowed to be secluded with them if there are other witnesses present. But to be alone with them is forbidden. It says only if they're witnesses. That means if there are two witnesses there to see what's going on, then that protects. And then we're not afraid. All these commodities imply the prohibition of being secluded is it shouldn't come to have intercourse. And to have intercourse with a brother, sister and brother, or a son and a and the mother, and so on, is a very serious act of incest, for which there's a chiyuv karet and something, even a chiyuv mita in the Chumash. You know, these are, on Yom Kippur, we recite the whole list of forbidden relationships at Mincha time from the Chumash. So we've got. Apparently, we've got two opinions in the amongst the Tanaim. It's quite true. The Mishnah says it's permissible, not other Aryot, but does say brother and sister permissible, and child and parent of the opposite sex is permissible. But there's another opinion that's forbidden even to be alone with an animal. Why? Why shouldn't be alone with an animal? Because of
bestiality.
Yeah. And bestiality is Jews. I mean, as the Gemara says elsewhere, Jews are not suspected of doing such a thing. It comes to their minds even. As mentioned, it's interesting the Chumash when it mentions all forbidden relationships. It mentions first the families, close incest, and also mentions adultery, and then it mentions homosexuality and bestiality.
In regards to this word that I don't like to mention because it's such a terrible thing,
yeah.
In the previous parsha, Bilam, he was the Navi for the Goy, so the Goy can't complain. But long story short, he was with his
Chias.
He was with his with his donkey, as we all know.
Yeah.
So how can he get a nevuah and be on such a high level if he's done this terrible thing?
Okay. What is it? And
couldn't Hashem find another person who didn't do such a thing?
He wanted to demonstrate that even Hashem is so open-minded that in case the nation of the world will claim, please, you gave the power of prophecy to the Jews, go and give it to the Gentiles. He was given such closeness and high level, and he never went in the as far as his courage was concerned, descended to the lowest possible level to demonstrate that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in fact, the whole essence of the prophecy of Bilam is to demonstrate that Hashem, when he needs to do so, to teach a certain important lesson, he will even transform a person who lives like an animal and make him a robot. He'll make him a robot to demonstrate that every human being is given freedom of choice and is given freedom of opportunities to the highest level. And really, when he's given such enormous powers of good to go into him, what does he do with them? If he's got an evil character, brings them to the lowest level. This is the concept of ambivalence. Anyway, so to explain the whole Parsha Bilam and also his corruption will take an extra shiur. But according to Shmuel, he's speaking about the prohibition for a Jew that we shouldn't be together alone even with an animal, because you never know how low a person can become unless he recognizes and works on himself. So therefore, Rav Shimon says it must be a machloket tana'im. And then the Gemara brings proofs. Tanya.
Yes. I have a quick question. Yes. You're saying that bestiality and homosexuality are on the same level when we list the prohibitions. Is that because that's like sex that even though all these other ones that are like forbidden, that these ones are it's like sex and they don't even have any fruitation? Is that the reason, maybe?
I don't quite understand.
Well, you're saying a father and a daughter, a nephew and an aunt, and all these things. But even like in this sexual relationship, it could still bear a child. But homosexuality and bestiality, it could never. It's just like sex for, like, with no real natural outcome of like why sex is supposed to be.
Yeah.
Is that maybe the reason?
Look, I think the Torah wants to point out, if you give in, let's say, to adultery, it can lead people in the direction of incest, and from incest, it can even be led, if you're going to give in entirely to the lust of the human being, to reach homosexuality. Of course, the punishment comes, the person does it intentionally. And from that, you even come to bestiality. And as even today, bestiality does exist. But once you have perversions, and you don't work on them to change them, the perversions go a long way. And you'll see, the shita of Shmuel, which he brings here, is that, in principle, this applies to the Jewish people also. That's why he said, it's even Vafil in Behema. Although, as far as we're concerned, we're inhibited against all this. But we're also inhibited against cases of brother and sister, and mother and father. But you know, there are instances reported of great crimes. Some people do, even their own family. And Shmuel brings, first we have chufta to Shmuel, it's disproven. Then Shmuel brings proof, and then he brings a proof from Rabbi Meir, the son of Yaakov. What's the proof, Rabbi Meir? You want to say, David? Danny, what's you want to say? Rabbi Meir?
Rabbi Meir.
Omar Rabbi Meir?
Yeah, sorry to say, I'm not thinking
about it. He saw Rubi. Bivnei Betim. He said, in my instance, even asked people, don't let me have too close, too much physical closeness with my daughter. And Rabbi Tavon said, for my daughter-in-law. So Ligalavo taught Talmud. One is Talmud, he laughed about him, mocked at him, he said, what's going on?
תלמיד בחמותו אפילו אם בהמה
no, it's a wait for that, it's a quotation. So what did he say? This person actually reached the level that he had relationships with his mother-in-law, which is incest. As Rashi says, Rabbi Tavon, whom did he speak? To Anshe Beto, to his family. Rashi says, Yizaru, can say the Rashi. Yizaru, be careful. I'm now alone with my daughter-in-law. So he said, please, I want one of the other members of the family with me. I don't want you to be alone with her. They perhaps didn't want to be alone with his daughter-in-law. They were very beautiful. And they were very attractive. Maybe in the house also, they didn't bother too much in their own home to cover their nakedness. So he said, I'm here and I don't want to hear by myself. I've got my attractive daughter-in-law here. And I don't even want to be attracted in my mind to anything. That's probably how to understand Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Tavon. They weren't going to rape them or even to seduce them in any manner. But they didn't want them around, they wanted them by themselves, because, you know, the thoughts might come into their minds, as we see in the previous episodes. They didn't want to be oivon, hiru avera. But the way it's brought in this Gemara, they applied to it the din of yichud. Otherwise, they felt the din of yichud is a protection. Now then, afilu im behem as a quotation. It's a quotation from the statement which is made before, the statement of Shmuel. Shmuel said, Asur, this is all a continuation of Shmuel. Shmuel brings support from Mishnais and Brises. And Shmuel's statement was that a person should not be with his mother and son, father and daughter. And then he says that he must not be mitziached in kol areyot shebatorah with afilim behema. What is afilim behema? So the Gemara comments on this. Abaye michlalei Machlalei Mikura Dabra. You know what that means? Abaya chased away the animals and went into a field. There were animals there. He chased them out. He was learning there, I suppose. He chased them away from the field. He didn't want to be alone with an animal. Rashi says that Kishahole Pesod Begirsa, he wanted to learn by himself. He wanted his boydilos to learn by himself. And there were animals in the field. So he chased them away. From the field. Sometimes animals in the field, they even do breeding activities. So what do you want to see it? But still, you can also say it's a type of yichud. Machle, he drove them out. We put it out in the old field. Rav Sheshes.
It's past one.
Nabil Metzra. He took them to the other side of the field. As he says, another explanation, he would not permit a shepherd and animals to be in one field. Put them in separate fields to make sure there wouldn't be any bestiality. You want to say the next episode? You say Rav Chona Mianadoi, he went to Rav Kana, who was the Fumnar, to a place called Kumna, which really means the mouth of the river, that's where he lived. Chaze, he saw him, the Asiv Kogoras, he was sitting down learning, and there was an animal in front of him. Omale, you don't agree to speak the decision of Shmuel, I feel in Behemo. Oh my love, that's how I didn't notice it. Omarova? You want to say Omarova?
Omarova.
Misyachet Odom?
Misyachet Odom im shtei Yerfomos.
If there are two women married to two brothers, he can be alone with them, those two women. Two women, that means these two, he's together with two, a person shouldn't be with two women. But those two women, that he's married to one of them, and the other one is married to his brother, then he can be with those two women. And one man with two women is yichud, but the two women hate one another, then he can be with them. Because they're gonna, one is gonna stop the other.
Wait a second, why isn't...
Same applies with state swords. Same applies with two co-wives. But two wives also hate one another. Is there two wives? Person's got two wives, so one is jealous of the other, and they're constantly arguing. And therefore, if one of them gets seduced, the other one will take advantage of her. She'll tell on her, you know. She's not gonna join her. If he wants to seduce one of them, then the other one will stop it. The same applies that there's generally hatred between a woman and a mother-in-law. Even if there's no open hatred in these instances, there's hidden hatred, hidden jealousy really, based on jealousy. We know jealousy is a major source of hatred.
In regards to the daughter-in-law, is it a yichud prohibition, or it's just something that they're recommending not to do for the situation of having those thoughts, which would mean a person needs to bring an offering? But we don't have the basis of Mikdash now, so we can't bring an offering, but...
Look, we see from all this that seclusion is forbidden because it leads to forbidden intercourse to the man and woman. But if it's that situation where it's with two women, it's still forbidden. If the two women are friendly with one another, at least they're not going to stop one another from doing something. Then it's forbidden. But if one is going to disturb the other one, one woman says, oh yeah, I don't mind, the other one will cause trouble. So that applies also to a mother-in-law, daughter-in-law. Im isho vas bala, and even more so, a woman and the daughter of a husband, that means she's a stepmother. Stepmother is a stepson. So if there's a stepson with father, so if there's a stepmother who is together with her stepdaughter, so there's no prohibition of seclusion because one is going to stop the other. Then there's another case which is permissible with Misha and a girl, a young girl. A young girl who knows what is intercourse, she sees what's going on, but she won't allow herself to be given over to intercourse because she hasn't reached that age yet. The Rashi says on all this, someone wants to say the Rashi, David? Yevamot, Nishay, Shnei Achin. What's the time, please?
We're
over time.
Yeah.
Sorry. Okay. Now, this is important Gemara, but the practical laws concerning it, we'll have to deal with the next year. Don't take... There are a lot of contradictory statements here. Question, what's the halakha? So we'll have to go into that next year.
Where is that then?
Please, also, you should let me know. Please let me know when it's 5 to 1.
Yes? Simcha tried to let you know.
I see.
But you're involved.
To encourage you to be more strong than me. Stop me. Yeah. Please call out to me when I come, just before one, you know. You should try and do the Gemara at the end of the page. More with Rashi.
Okay, no, it's, I just keep losing my pace. I need to bring like a card to go line by line.
Yeah, okay.
This is a student from Hollywood, Florida, named Arya. I think he was here before. I showed him around a little bit. I talked, and he said he's going to come back. This rabbi from Hollywood knows you. I told him that you're finishing up your shir, so I think
he's here now, isn't he?
He said he's on the way back, so let me see here. I just...
Good, thank you very much.
Yeah, he said he's about 10 minutes out. You're welcome. Can you show me later, then?